Radio.
Let's get soft if you wanna get soft with it.
Sometimes you feel you gotta love somebody, and that somebody is you. Sometimes we feel we need to touch somebody, touch somebody.
Let's get soft if you
want to
get soft with it.
There it is. There it is, that classic opening. Just right. That little, Ladies and gentlemen, that's Joe DeRosa. Oh, look
that's
at his
Kurt
dead.
Braunohler.
Oh, he's dead. He
over there.
And this is Emotional Hang. Joe is in a grumpy mood. I just want that out on the table before we get going. Put your phone down and look at me.
I need the phone so
no,
I can
you don't.
Go
not,
to the questions.
Not for right now. We are doing an all listener question episode.
There you go.
But you don't need them right now. Right now, just connect with me for a little bit.
I'm sorry. I got as we were getting ready to start, I got a work phone call, mm-hmm. and then in the phone call, I was told about a work email.
And then you checked it, and it
and
got
now it's about to
out.
Be. Well, it's the Friday of Memorial Day weekend. I'm going to be pretty tied up until late afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Can't do anything about it.
I'm just was like, let me make sure this is nothing that I have to immediately address.
I get it.
Because people won't be around now till Tuesday.
Isn't it beautiful? Memorial Day weekend. What?
It is
what
a nice.
Great time. For people who have jobs,
it's a beautiful weekend. I still treat it as if I work a 9-to-5.
I do too. Yeah. I'm just like not doing anything, which include you know like it's just like what do I have to like write? So it's like for one day I have no guilt about not writing.
Yeah.
Usually the other days that I don't write, I just feel guilty about it. It's not like I write every day, but every day I do feel guilty for not.
I will be honest. I'm a little worried about myself.
Me too.
Great. About yourself?
Yes. This is great. Why are you worried about yourself?
All I want to do
uh-huh.
is start drinking tonight and not stop it until Monday night.
Until Monday night.
Like, I want to
You're having the Fridays. You're feeling
the
Fridays. Yeah,
like, but I've got like a very summertime, I just want to drink, I want to take mushrooms, I want to smoke weed.
Yeah.
I just want to have like a stupid fucking weekend.
But that's Memorial Day weekend. You're not going on a vacation. So let the vacation come to you in your body.
I know, but it's not exactly like I abstain from booze and weed.
It's not like it's going to be a real vacation. You're having a staycation with drugs.
Like I was out with our agent on Tuesday night, mm-hmm. our mutual agent. We just met up to have drinks, not for a business. We just were like, it's been a while. Let's go out. We went out and we had drinks for a good 2.5 hours. So we were feeling pretty good. He got in an Uber. I was like, you know what? My friend's bar is across the street. Why not? Went in there to the great bar Bandini, owned by our friend Josh from the Josh and Josh show.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I went in there, and Josh was there, gave me a beer on the house, which I was not expecting. It was just a nice little surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Drank that, texted some friends. Was like, hey, I know it's 11:30, but any chance you guys are hanging?
And this is in Los Angeles. Did you get someone to come out at 11:30 at night on a weekday? In Los Angeles.
My friends were like, get your ass over here. We're drinking.
That's great.
And I went over there. Next thing you know, it's 4:15. You know, you're yelling about politics at each other. You know, so my point is that was Tuesday.
So you had Wednesday, Thursday off.
I didn't do anything on... Did I do anything on Wednesday? I had one beer on Wednesday. Thursday, I had a date. So I had like 4 drinks.
I love that this is now revealing that you just haven't stopped. Really, what you wanted to do was on Tuesday start drinking and not stop until Monday. So you're still in the middle of a jag.
My plan was not... What it was I went so hard Tuesday that I didn't plan to go that hard, and then it kind of threw my week off a little bit. But the reason I'm worried about myself is that now it's Friday, not that long after that, and I'm not like, let's have an easy night tonight. I'm like, no, let's have some fun, man.
Well, I have a similar not a similar story, but a story that I'll tell you that is along those lines. First off, this is Emotional Hangs. This is a podcast about adult friendship.
Oh, we forgot to say it.
Yeah. Come on, give it to me. And one, two, three.
Let's get soft.
I'm going to get soft with you.
Okay.
I'm going to reveal something.
Okay.
So last weekend, went to the Crapshoot Comedy Festival, first one in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yes.
And it was the first time, you know, we've been talking, you know, throughout this podcast about what it's going to be like for me as a father and how I'm going to handle, like, friendship. And a lot of that is about, like, going out and being, like, the guy, the, like, we're going out to party guy. And now, but now I'm a dad. And so I went to Vegas for this festival. They treated us very well. And definitely drank a lot. Definitely even smoked some cigarettes, which I have not done in many, many months.
Uh-huh.
And had been, if I'm honest with myself, had been looking forward to, like, you know, I'm a dad. So it's like every night, my night is putting the baby down and then just like a little bit worrying about her
sure.
the whole night. And then this was going to be like the time away to just like really let loose. And I did let loose. I felt horrible, horribly hungover the whole weekend, which kind of ruined my time. But then when I got back, all I felt was deep guilt and shame. And that was, and that's a big change. That's a big change. Like,
well, why did you feel guilt and shame?
Because I, like, part of it was because, like, you know, like Lauren and I, my wife and I, we raise this baby very much like 50-50. You know what I mean? Like, we right. really do 50. The only time that that's not true is if I have to go somewhere for work. And I know what it's like to be at home for 3 days straight with a baby where you can't do anything. And so it was that. I felt bad for her. I felt bad for her.
That sounds tough.
Secondly, I just felt like and this was like a deeper level that I had to like kind of think about, is that I was a dad and I was still acting like this drunk doofus, but I had a daughter at home. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I got news for you. Most dads I know still do that.
I mean, and who knows? It just, there was a change is what I'm saying.
Sure.
There was a change. I came home and I just was like, I don't want to do that anymore.
My friend, does that. He still acts like an idiot and drinks and whatever, but like, he just had a daughter, and he told me he'll feel guilty. Like, he'll eat, like, I remember we ate at Panda Express one day, and he was like, yeah, I feel like bad that I ate at Panda Express. He's
yes.
like, because that means I'm not taking care of myself. What if I die and because I didn't take care of myself and my daughters and my father? Like,
exactly. No, that's like, exactly what I thought. Shit, like, dude. I ate like shit the whole time. I only ate pizza for every single meal. And I was thinking about that. It's just like, what if that weekend took like 30 days off my life? Like, that's 30 less days I have.
Well, I'm certainly not encouraging you to go against these feelings, but it didn't take 30 days off your life.
You don't know what I did.
Look, I've been there, man.
We've all been there, right.
I've been there, and you're laying in your bed, and
I couldn't get out of bed.
Yeah, I've been there.
It was awful.
I've been there, and I've felt the same level of guilt without a daughter or a wife.
Uh-huh.
You know, mine goes towards my parents. What if I were to die? And then, oh, what a disappointment and a disgrace I'd be to my parents. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think normal people get it.
I get that.
At times when they overdo it, and that's what stops them from becoming raging addicts,
mm-hmm.
I think so. But I think that's all it is. And I think you'll just learn how to kind of keep it within certain bounds.
I think that that's what it is. It's like, I think I found a way that it's like, there's like boundaries now. It's like, I would prefer to kind of like leave before I have the, because whenever, you know, there's thousands of jokes about it, but the last 2 hours of the night are usually a waste. There's nothing other, unless you're single, then the last two hours of the night are always like pretty fantastic.
That's crunch time.
Yeah. You gotta really bone up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the real crucial.
Yeah. But no, but if you're not single, those last 2 hours, there's nothing. You're not getting anything done.
Yeah, I often wonder if I wasn't single, if I'd even want to hang out in bars and stuff still?
Great question, right?
I don't know. I just...
It's nice to hang out at home. All your things are there.
I like hanging out at home. I like entertaining in my home.
Yeah.
I like having friends over. I do like going... I don't know why I like going to bars, to be honest. I can only assume there's a little part of me that thinks some adventure will come out of it, or maybe I'll meet a lady or something.
I think that's an option. That second thing is an option. On some level, too, there's an aspect of, for at least old Catholics like ourselves, there's an aspect of church to it. You know, where it's like, this is where all the souls, we collect all the souls. We've been gathered here for a purpose, to share in this communal experience of getting drunk. But that's what, you know, not to get weird about it, but that's what Jung said about alcoholics, is he said that they all want to meet God. And that's why they drink, to experience that joy of being in the presence of the divine. And sometimes when I'm drunk, I feel that way. I'm like, I understand what Jung's talking about.
Oh, I totally get that. I've never heard that before, but I totally get that. Yeah, it's an elation.
Yeah.
It's utter elation.
There's a song by the Hold Steady called Citrus and... Whiskey and Citrus or something like that, which is all about that, which is great. Do you like the Hold Steady?
I never heard them.
Oh, my God. You're going to love the Hold Steady.
All right, relax.
All right, let's get in some listener questions.
Relax. All right, I got our Emotional Hangs DM pulled up here.
All right, so these are questions from you listeners. Remember, if you guys have any questions that you want to ask us about adult friendships, just DM them to either of us on Twitter or the Emotional Hangs Twitter page, which is Emotional Hangs.
This is from Katie Bash at KBash17. Hey, fellas, after discovering your podcast recently, I've been binge listening for the past week. Love the conversation and all the laughs. Wanted to say that your episode with the Sklar brothers really hit home. I have an identical twin sister who I have a very close relationship with, similar to the Sklar brothers, that is hard to describe to anyone. I feel like they put words to how my sister and my relationship is. It was very comforting and endearing to hear. Just saying thank you for the episode and the many great ones to follow. Keep doing what you're doing.
That wasn't a question. You wanted to start off with a brag?
I'm literally just going down and reading them.
You wanted to just start off with a real pat on your back.
I just opened the first one and read it. It seemed nice. That was very nice.
That was really nice. Thank you very much. Please, if you do like the show, you know, we are brand new. We're very brand new as a show. So if you can tell people about us, if you can tweet about us, if you can go give us a good review on iTunes, and definitely subscribe if you haven't. Like, all that stuff actually really does weirdly help out.
Yeah, and send comments along with questions. This is all very valuable. And we're glad to hear that, Katie. This is from Jeff Rotrol, I guess is how you say it. His handle is at Bad Art for Sale.
I like that you're reading, so you don't know what the message says, but you're definitely identifying them totally first, and then you're going to read it. What if at the end they're like, please don't mention my name?
Well, they're shit out of luck, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I'd put that first.
Well, before the address, their Twitter address?
I don't know. I'm just trying to... It's my way of saying, thank you, listeners. We recognize you.
All right. I'll
skim them from now on.
Not to skim them. Just read them first and then say who it's from.
This one is directed to you.
Okay, great.
How much family dysfunction should you ask your partner to deal with? Where do you draw the line? Joe, you can probably sit this one out. Yeah, thank you, Jeff.
So wait, the question is, how much family dysfunction do you... What?
Do you expect... Should you ask your partner to deal with, and where do you draw the line?
So that's a confusingly worded question. I'm assuming what he's saying is how much of like your families should the other person have to deal with, right? As opposed to referring to the partnership as a
family. I would think so.
Okay. Look, in my opinion, dealing with family dysfunction is kind of like, it's like you're going to a sporting event that's horrible, but you're both going together. And so you kind of have to like gird your loins and have a few drinks and then go into that situation and deal with it. You have to make it on some level entertaining. Do you know what I mean? Because you have to have both of you, you're on each other's team. So if you're going through it together, the worst part about family dysfunction is that it feels alienating to you. But if you got a teammate that you can go into it with, I think then it becomes like a spectator sport. Like, hey, you're my dad's going to say something fucked up in 5, 4, 3, 2. There we go. We drink.
Ding,
you
ding,
know?
Ding. I think that's great advice.
Yeah.
Thank you. I thank you for the advice.
Thank you. Oh, well, thank you.
I'll use it one day. Next message ready?
Yeah, ready for it.
First sentence. Don't use my name.
Really?
Yeah.
Great. Look at that. I'm so happy. I'm happy that I called you out on it for this person.
Okay. This is a long one. I'll try to just hit the highlights. I moved to a new comedy scene. That is a female. That is important. Okay. I moved to a comedy scene like a year ago, but still feel kind of new because the city I'm in has such a vast comedy scene. I don't know if it's because it's spring finally or what the deal is, but all these freaking dude comedians keep hitting on me. I know, what a cool humble brag, but it's more like it's getting in the way of me being able to work on my shit. I'm a blunt person generally, and I'm also bisexual, so like, do they just think I'm slutty? Do they know I've slept with male comedians before? Are they just thinking with their dumb dicks? I mean, look, if you've said all this to them, who knows? Hey, you just thinking with your dumb dick right now?
I think it's very funny.
I think it's funny, too. I know. It's just a funny... All I want to do is comedy and the like and be left alone unless I reciprocate feelings with people. Right now isn't the best time for me to just fuck around because I'm dealing with my own mental health. Recently got diagnosed with bipolar. Mood stabilizers are dope, but I'm still feeling vulnerable and need to focus on my well-being. Can I, like, signal to dudes that I'm here to work? Do I just tell them to fuck off? How do I tell them to fuck off and still get booked? Why are dudes the worst?
Oof, this is a tough one.
Well, I think it's a little... I understand the issue here. I understand her frustration. The first thing you got to do is stop... collectively putting all dudes together.
Oh, this is your fucking man shit. Fuck
That's
off.
Not man shit.
Dude, listen. Dude, she's saying this is
why
her, this
are
is,
dudes the worst is not.
Oh my God. That's what you took away from that fucking question.
I'm saying
dudes are the worst. It's like shorthand. When you're mad, when I'm mad at my wife sometimes, I'll call my friend and be like, women are fucking crazy. But that's not the point. The point is that, like, I'm having these specific issues. I don't think all women are crazy. She doesn't think all dudes are the worst.
And I,
she doesn't think Barack Obama's the worst.
The reason I say I'm not referring to Barack Obama. I'm saying the second you start, hear me out before you tell me I'm wrong.
All right, you're still going to be wrong.
The second you start saying, oh, this is what male comedians do, which seems to be sort of apparent here, then that means every time you have an encounter with a male comedian, you're going to make the assumption that he's just going to want to treat you that way, whatever, which is not true. It is a case-by-case thing. There may be more men hitting on you than you would like, and that may suck. I'm not saying it doesn't. But I am saying there are plenty of male comedians out there that will not hit on you. You just have to find them, okay? So that's an important thing to remember. That's all I was trying to say at the top of it.
Right. But you also, I want you to recognize where I think her perspective is.
Oh,
is that if the majority of male comedians she's interacting with are treating her this way, then you can see why she just applies it to everybody. If it's 51% of male comedians are hitting on her, then you can see easily how that feels like everybody's out to do that.
I know. I just think when we're dealing with progress and equality when it comes to all types of groups, genre, race, whatever, you have to be careful about the way you phrase things. If I went to a black club where it was all black comedians and I got annoyed because I bombed, and then I came to you and I go, black people are the worst, you'd be like, whoa, dude, I hear you. So I'm just saying, like, we're trying. I've met female comedians who are very frustrated with this exact same scenario. And sometimes they go down this road that all men are scum and all male comedians right. are the same. And I can never be friends with a male comedian and I can never date a male comedian because they all fit into this mold. And I'm saying, first of all, just put that part out of your head. It may seem gloomy right now. It may seem dark. It may seem grim, but there's hope. That's all I'm trying to say.
Okay.
There's hope.
The idea that there is hope is not something that I would have taken from it the original time, and I appreciate that. Now, to actually get to the point, I think it's a very difficult situation she finds herself in. Do you know what I mean? It's like a lot of guys do think with their dumb dicks a lot. I know when I was single, I definitely thought with my dumb dick constantly.
Sure. I mean, look, I can understand this from both sides. I've been in the position, particularly when I was in college. I remember when I was in the theater program in my college, there were particularly one or two women in that program that I found beyond not attractive. You know, there are women that you find attractive. There are women that you are indifferent to. There are women that you're not attracted to. Then there are women that you're actually kind of like, ugh. And it goes the same for men with women, you know? Yeah. But there were one or two women that I was literally like turned off by mm-hmm. who would incessantly hit on me. And it made me very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I was like, I remember saying to myself, must be how women feel when like a creepy guy is hitting on them. I don't feel any physical danger or anything like that.
But it's just uncomfortable.
But I'm just really creeped out. And yeah. It's just grossing me out and I hate it and I wish this person would stop.
Yeah.
So I understand her frustration completely, but I'm also a guy that's dated a lot of comedians and had a lot of fun with those comedians doing it.
Right.
So I also think there is a world in which comedians can hang out in a romantic way and have fun.
Of course there is, but it doesn't address like, what if those two people who you really didn't like, who constantly hit on you, were the majority of people that when you went out to do a set, that's who you interacted with all night long, it would start to make you feel gross about comedy itself.
Comedy is gross.
But I mean,
make no bones about it.
Comedy
is gross
for other reasons.
You're going to get gross. Well, no. This is one of the reasons.
I think comedy is gross, and no comedian's ever hit on me and make me feel uncomfortable.
That's why I'm saying this is one of the reasons.
But not for us. That's the imbalance.
No, I'm not saying for me. I'm saying for this is one of the things that makes comedy gross. Look, comedians are, I really wish we could say this person's name, but just because it would feel more personal and less clinical or whatever. But comedians are, for the most part, and I say this directly to the person that wrote this question to us, for the most part, comedians are egotistical, self-centered, self-serving, self-promoting scum. Male or female, all they care about is their next paycheck and their next plug and the next like they get on Twitter or Instagram. They are terrible, terrible, terrible people. So whatever they want in that moment in time that you're sharing with them, they will make known. And if that is, I want to hit on you right now, they're going to do it, and it's gross, and it sucks, and whatever. And then on top of that...
Look, I don't want to interrupt you. But I do want to say that I'm going to be on tour with Ray Romano, Kumail Nanjiani, and A.D. Bryant. We're doing Boston, Philly, New York City, and L.A. Tickets are on sale right now.
So... Well, there you go, Ray Romano. He's a great guy.
Ray Romano is a great guy.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. Did you think that was sarcastic? Who would ever say Ray Romano is not a great guy?
Ray Romano is a really nice guy.
That's what I'm saying. He's like, what I was saying earlier, there's hope. There are the Ray Romanos
out there.
There
are the Ray Romanos. Also, I would be interested in knowing what city she's in and if she's doing shows in alt rooms or if she's doing shows at a club. Like, that matters.
Here's the worst part of this with this whole...
You can find your community where people don't hit on you and are like very respectful of that. That exists,
but
I think.
You can also find this other community.
Uh-huh.
And this is the problem with comedy.
Mm-hmm.
One of the problems. And Mrs. X, I'm going to call you.
Mm-hmm. Ms. X.
Ms. X. Well, I think Mrs. is even more of a disguise.
She said she's single.
I know, but it's just, I'm just trying to help her out.
You want her to confuse it by having her be married as well.
I'm just going to call her XX.
Okay, XX.
XX.
The band.
In the Malcolm X kind of way, not in the not in the porn rating kind of way. XX. Here's the other thing you got to look out for.
What?
In this filthy fucking business. Not only are you got to deal with these guys who are just going to hit on you outwardly, and that annoys you, and that makes you uncomfortable, you're also going to have the little shits in the fucking bookstore shows that come from the other direction that are like, hey, man, I like totally get the female struggle and everything. Mm-hmm. And that's all just a ploy. So at the end of the day, there's nothing wrong with you showing up, doing your set and leaving. There's nothing there's nothing wrong with you letting your stance be known if it calls for that or whatever. I don't think you have to tell it unsolicited to people, but I think like if you're in a weird situation and a guy's like, hey, what do you say we go hang out or whatever, you go, yeah, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to hook up with a comic.
Yeah, I mean, also, you know what she can do too, and this is like, this is maybe too crazy, but it would be what I would do if it was really getting in the way of me doing my comedy. I'd get a ring and I'd put it on my ring finger, and when people started up, I'd just be like, I'm engaged, man, to my girlfriend. And then that's it. And like, that just would end that conversation. And it would be like, oh, walls up. Now you're just another comic.
And all that being said, I will also say this. At the risk of skirting a slightly dangerous line,
mm-hmm.
I'm looking at your picture, XX. You're an attractive person.
This is exactly.
No, hold on a second. I'm not hitting on her. Stop it.
What if this is your whole thing? Is just like, listen, you should do this. But also,
why don't you call
super
me?
Hot. Give me a call. No, I can hook you up with some comedy
spots.
What I was going to say is
she's an attractive person, and
obviously she's an attractive
and
person.
And she might be funny. So some of this is just flattery too. You know, some of it is flattery. Sometimes right. Getting hit on is just a little flattery.
But I think that for women, oftentimes that flattery can begin to feel aggressive, and it can begin to feel like that's the only thing that they're being valued for. And I think it is a difficult road to hoe for a funny female comedian who also happens to be very attractive, because people want to slot her into just being hot and don't want to listen to her jokes. I think that that's definitely
a shitty
position that women
not,
get put in a lot.
I am not in the least saying that is that's not an issue.
Yeah, but
I know
also,
it's an issue.
But also know that it's a good thing too, because like if you can be funny and beautiful, like you're going to fucking rule the world one
well,
day.
Well, that's part of what I'm saying too. Try to take some of the good away from it too. Try to not just look at it as a huge black cloud.
Yes.
You know, it's I don't know, for what it's worth, when the lady that freaked me out would hit on me in college, you know, I would just, and she was physical with me too.
Yeah,
I
mean, she'd grab you and stuff.
Yeah, she would grab me. She would like manhandle me, and again, not in a way that I was frightened, but it was just gross. And like, what am I going to do? Shove a woman away? Yeah. Like, get off of me? Because then I don't know. It was just a weird situation. But for what it's worth, there was a part of me. I was like, well, I guess that is she at least is being. Telling me that she sees qualities in me or whatever, you know. But it were to go any farther than that, then it becomes wholly inappropriate. And then that's a different story. I'm not saying that's not. So,
good, but a good question, and we're very happy you wrote in. I bet you we didn't solve a goddamn thing for you, but really good conversation. Today's episode of Emotional Hangs is brought to you by Tula.com. Receive 20% off your entire purchase at www.trytula.com/feral.
Again, dear listeners, this is just for you today. Tula is offering you something very special. Go to trytula.com/feral. That's TRYTULA.com/feral. And you're going to get a special offer, 20% off the entire purchase, plus free shipping. All you got to do is enter this promo code, and here it is, HELLO20.
And you're asking right now, well, what is Tula?
HELLO20.
Oh, that is the promo code.
Yeah, that is the promo code. But everybody is wondering, what is Tula?
Tula is, well, first off, it's a Sanskrit word, means balance, Joe.
And it's a skincare healthy living brand founded by Dr. Roshini Raj, a practicing gastroenterologist and media wellness expert, and Ken Landis, co-founder of Bobby Brown Cosmetics.
All right.
Tula empowers women to live healthier, balanced, and more beautiful lives by transforming their beauty regimen. They use a probiotic technology in all of their products.
Okay.
It's excellent for your skin. It promotes healthy, beautiful skin. And you guys can get 20% off your entire purchase and free shipping by going to www.trytula.com/feral and using the code HELLO20, HELLO20.
So try Tula. Well, I mean, what are you going to do? You know, look, here's the other thing here. And this is nothing to do with this. This question did not prompt this, what I'm about to say. This is a thing that I've had on my mind for the last year that I've been sort of writing about. You know, we're very much living in this age of so-called acceptance right now, and we're very much living in this age of so-called progress and all these things. And the unfortunate truth of it all is it's just not true. It's an illusion. It's an illusion. You know, there's a great line in one of George Carlin's specials after 9/11 where he goes, you know, here's what we need to do now to, he's basically explaining what he thinks we need to do to retaliate to the attack. And he goes, pacifism is a great idea, but it can get you killed. Progress is slow, smallpox is fast. And I think like that still rings very true. We can say all we want that we're so progressive and we're so enlightened and we're all the average person just isn't. And we're never going to be able to fully legislate good behavior. It's just never going to happen. Whether it's interracially, intersexually, between genders, but whatever it is, it's just never going to happen. It's not something that you can legislate. So I would say, whether it's this woman here that has written to us or somebody else in a different situation, if you're ever in a situation where you feel in danger or unsafe, you should remove yourself from that situation. Period. And find another way to pursue the thing you want to pursue elsewhere where it is safe.
I mean, I don't know. This idea, this thing that you like brought it back to the being political, where this idea of legislating behavior, it's not like that's I feel like I don't agree with that because, and this
you
is
think
the
you
reason.
You can legislate good behavior. It's never happened.
It's that
people still murder.
You create a new norm. You create a new norm for society. And that if people want to exist outside of that norm, that's fine. But we say hatred and bigotry and prejudice, they're not cool and they're not acceptable. So then that becomes the new normal for society as opposed to not legislating it. And then all that shit is the norm. So then all of a sudden you define as those people who are hateful and bigots and prejudice, you define them as outside of the norm. And then I think that over years actually helps progress.
Again, what I said, progress is slow, smallpox is fast. I'm quoting George Carlin.
I don't even know the progress is slow makes sense, but then the smallpox
because all the
fast.
Smallpox attacks were happening after 9/11. And there were
thought it was anthrax.
Or anthrax. Well, you might have said anthrax. I'm sorry, okay. Excuse me. That's exactly his point. Sure, over time perhaps we can all get to this place. But yeah. If you immediately are finding yourself in a situation where you do not feel safe, you need to remove yourself from that situation, period.
Sure.
There is no, this is the way it should
be. But here's
be.
The deal.
Protecting yourself.
But how this relates to what she's saying is,
it
she's saying
completely
that
completely relates.
How it does is that she's saying the thing she wants to do the most is comedy, and she doesn't feel safe when she goes to do the thing she loves the most. So
and
you can't just remove yourself
from
I'm
comedy. What I'm saying is, I didn't say remove yourself from comedy. I said, find another way to do the thing you want to do. She said that she lives in a very vast comedy scene. So go to another place. Find the venue where you feel okay.
Yeah, it's true.
If you feel unsafe. I don't know if she didn't say the word unsafe.
No,
I'm
but
just
if
saying,
you do.
That's the most important thing.
And also, there are the parts of the scene. There are, especially if it's in a big city, there's the parts of the scene that are like, super queer friendly, super lady friendly. There's, you know, that's the scene that I came up in New York City, where it's just like, I don't really think people, and also, of course, I wasn't single at the time, so I don't know if I saw it as much, but it wasn't, you know, it was like, if anything, it was the opposite end. Like, if you hit on somebody, like, you were considered a fucking dirtbag and kind of shunned.
But that's exactly my point. You just proved my point.
I proved your point?
Yes. Yes, we can all hope.
What, that anthrax is fast?
We can all hope, we can all dream, but first and foremost is you have to keep yourself safe.
No one's not keeping themselves safe. Agreed.
Well, I'm saying that for the sake of this girl.
But you were trying to talk about legislation with this question.
I'm saying we live in a time where there's a lot of talk of us sort of implementing good behavior and acceptance amongst one another. That's true.
That's great.
I'm not saying it's not a step forward.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying it doesn't work overnight.
No, it takes a long time.
And it's a thing that a lot of people...
Like the dinosaurs have to die off.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So first
and
foremost...
Can't wait for the dinosaurs to die off.
I got news
Sometimes
for you.
I just think, like, kill everybody over 60. And let's reset.
Look, I think the only way that things could be better is with a complete apocalyptic reset. I truly believe that.
If you did an apocalyptic reset, then we go back to caveman values.
Well, I mean, here's
nobody,
the thing.
Nobody gives a shit about civil rights when they can't eat.
Here's the thing. Can I just say this?
Yeah.
And this is we've concluded the response to this person who wrote to us. This is just an extension of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Human brutality has existed since the beginning of time.
It will never not exist.
Yeah. The fucking arrogance of you people, and I say you people as I point at Kurt.
He did.
That really think you're going to be the generation that puts an end to it. I mean, are you out of your fucking mind?
Are you out of your fucking mind to not try, you fucking raping monster? You raping, pillaging monster who just
How
was
am
like,
I raping, pillaging monster?
It's just like, we don't even have to try to be better people. We just...
First
let
of all,
the basis
take back that you said.
It.
Take back that you described me as raping. Take that back.
Okay,
Jesus
that's
Christ,
it's a loaded word. But I was saying, like, that's the extreme version of it. Do you know what I mean?
No, it's not a matter of not. It's a matter of it's not ever going to go away. It doesn't stop.
Holy shit! But guess what? It has slowly gotten better.
Is there still murder all the time? Yes.
Look,
yes. Is there still physical assault all the time? Yes. Every time they figure out a way to stop murder.
What is your other option? Just making it all legal and encouraged?
No, but people
What the fuck is the other option?
People are going to... Did you watch my special? You clearly didn't.
I watched like the first 15 minutes.
Oh, thanks.
I watched the rest
people
of it.
People didn't... People... I have a joke in my special about psychopaths.
Uh-huh.
And how, like, people create things like Bumble, for instance, and they think, like, that's going to somehow protect people.
Yeah.
Well, on Bumble, we're only going to let the women message the men, and then that way we'll filter out all the psychopaths.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, guess what? You filtered out the male psychopaths, but you didn't filter out the sociopaths. All right? Everybody can spot psychopaths. They're walking around with no pants on. They're screaming about their cum at the top of their lungs. They're sending dick pics to you unsolicited. Those are the psychopaths. Serial killers, sociopaths. What do all serial killers have in common? Success. They're good at what they do.
Also, they're all men.
Because they adapt. They adapt. Evil adapts. And that's my point. That's my point.
Right. But all serial killers, except for like two,
are
men. Up to
airport security, now ISIS is using trucks. They figure out a way.
Address my point.
What?
All serial killers, except for like 0.01%, are men.
Okay. What the hell does that have to do with it?
So why not just have it be that the women can only message? You're literally taking all the serial killers out of the messaging
game. I'm not saying
you can't ignore reality. You can't ignore reality.
I'm saying, do you really think this? That Russ Meneve used to have this great joke where he'd go, like, sometimes, and this was before dating apps and everything else. He goes, sometimes you meet a girl at a bar and you'll go, hey, you're really cool. Can I call you sometime? And they go, you can give me your number, but I don't give out mine just in case you're a psycho. And he goes, what do you think? I answer my phone like this. Kill, kill. Hello. It's a
pretty good joke.
Yeah, it's a great joke. It's like, that's my point. It's like a guy that's sick enough to cut off heads and put them in his freezer is not walking around swinging a gun.
But it's those like, are the I don't
psychos.
Know. This
psychos are going into Kmart.
But here's the deal. Your argument is the same as like, people are going to get guns no matter what we do. So why not give them away to elementary school
children?
No, that's
not what I'm saying.
That is your fucking
that's
argument.
That's not what I'm saying.
It's just
that's
like, they're all going to do it anyway. So why don't we make it as easy as fucking possible
that's not
for
what
people
I'm saying.
To do evil?
That's...
Why don't we make it as hard as possible for people to do evil?
That's not what I'm saying. Do you believe in guns?
I think I might own a gun at some point.
Yeah. Oh, I'm way for
but
it.
But also, I got no problem.
I've had a schizophrenic man trying to get into my home before.
I know. It's so scary.
It's
I think about it all the time.
Terrifying.
Here's the deal. It's like we have to wrap up because we have guests coming in for
we
next episode.
We got three questions.
But I just think you should have like a driver's license style test to own a gun.
I don't disagree with that.
Right? And that's reasonable.
I am not saying don't regulate. But
I still
this,
don't understand your politics. Are you libertarian? Like, what are you?
I'm outside of this whole mess that all of you have created.
Oh, man, that's so punk rock of you. That's
I know,
cool.
Isn't it?
Man, do you just want anarchy?
No, I don't want anarchy. I'm just watching all of you have these fucking arguments and debates.
Oh, man, that just means you're a fucking pussy and you're not
just,
taking a side.
No. I have sides. Nobody can deal with fucking... Nobody wants to hear sides anymore. Everybody wants to tell you you're wrong no matter what. And now that I said that, I just set off that girl that trolled me last week.
Oh, no.
Again, that told me that it was my white privilege to say that I don't participate in politics. And it felt so fucking good using her own bleeding heart bullshit back against her. To be like, yeah, I'm not white.
Yep.
Sorry.
He's North African, folks.
You're racist.
He's North African.
You're racist. Oh, what are you saying? But I don't look North African, fucking racist.
I'm just so happy I have a black friend who can totally pass for white anywhere.
So funny. I would never get mad at somebody saying to me, you look white. I don't give a shit at all. It's just when you get to use the bleeding heart thing back on the bleeding heart, it feels really good.
Every time you say bleeding heart, I think you're like, fuck it. Russ Limbaugh.
No, there are people. Look, moderate.
Bleeding heart. Like bleeding
moderate
heart. Bleeding,
got,
here's what I hate about the word bleeding heart. Bleeding heart is a way to make a negative thing about compassion.
No,
and that
it's
is
not.
So cynical. And so fucked up, those people can
but
go
Kurt,
fuck themselves.
It's not, Kurt. It's
bleeding
not.
Bleeding heart means you have a bleeding heart. You're compassionate. You have empathy for other human beings who aren't you.
Look, just like all terms evolve, okay? And just like conservative isn't what it used to mean, and liberal isn't what it used to mean, and moderate isn't what it used to mean, bleeding heart is not what it used to mean. Bleeding heart now is applicable to the social justice warriors that jerk themselves off and play the Jesus Christ pose. That used to be a thing that people in our camp made fun of. Jesus Christ pose. It was a fucking song by Soundgarden. It was a grunge song. It was the underbelly. It was an underbelly anthem. It was a Gen X thing. Fuck you and your Jesus Christ pose. Now these same fucking people want to walk around going, do this, do that, do that. And it's like, hey, dude, fuck you, man.
Look, the way they might be going about trying to do it might be problematic, but what they're saying is essentially a good thing.
What? That
people should that be treated equal. That's
no,
what
that's,
they're trying to say.
Nobody's,
that people
that's
should
not
be
bleeding heart.
That's social justice.
That's not bleeding
social
heart.
Social justice is people should be treated equal.
That's not bleeding heart, and that's not social justice warriors.
That's what social justice
you know,
means.
No, Jamie Kilstein is a fucking social justice warrior. That's who I'm talking about. Fucking Jamie Kilstein. Yeah, with his horse shit. And now he's in trouble because all he did was surround himself with people that were as fucking brainless as he is, and the second he said to a girl at the office, hey, you want to go out on Saturday, they were like, you're a sexual assault.
I don't know the deals, the stories, or else I would probably argue with
just,
you about it.
I'm just saying what I read. My yeah. point is that fucking guy, that fucking Nimrod, that's who I'm talking about. I'm not talking about you. You're a level-headed, progressive thinking person.
But I'll still argue with you about this.
Well, I think I'm very progressive. I think I'm more progressive than you or most people I know.
I know you're so progressive, you just want nobody to have any rights.
Well, you know, it's I've said this before and I'll say it again. I've been saying this world has been fucked up for the last 10 years, 15, maybe even 20. And I would
say 50.
And I just love... No, I'm just saying that's how long I've been saying
it.
Oh,
okay.
It. And I just love all my friends now who for the last 5 to 10 years told me, oh, Joe, you're just negative. You're just dark. You're just this. You're just that. Now they're all the ones being like, hey, man, wake up. Things are fucked up. Fuck you. I've been woke. Suck my woke dick.
And I think that's where we have to end it, folks. Suck Joe's woke dick. This has been Emotional Hangs. Again, you can come check me out. With Ray Romano, Kumail Nanjiani, and A.D. Bryant. We're at the Wilbur Theater in Boston on 5:30. We're at the Trocadero in Joe's hometown of Philly, 5:31. Yeah. We're in the PlayStation Theater in New York City, June 1st. And June 14th, we're at the Belasco in L.A. with Judd Apatow.
Beautiful. I'll be at the, this weekend, I'm at in San Francisco at the Clusterfest.
Oh, nice.
Come check that out. Doing all kinds of shows, hosting the Paddy's Pub Trivia one afternoon. So come on out.
I'm also going to be at the Alamo Draft House in Arlington, July 19th and 20th. Okay. Bye, guys. Feral Audio.